Hare Krishna. Okay, here's a question from a Mr. Anonymous, which is no doubt going to cause a little controversy. What do you think about devotees tattooing themselves? Hare Krishna. To say that it's unnecessary. And to elaborate a little further, not only unnecessary, I don't think it's fitting, really, but let's go a little further. I'm often really amazed at how devotees, elder devotees, initiated devotees, are influenced by outside trends, trends that go on in the material world, men, ladies. Here we are, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, meant to change the world, meant to ourselves actually set trends, and yet devotees seem to be, not everybody, but a lot, very much influenced by outside trends. And I'm speaking of what I see here in Hungary, in devotees, and when I go abroad, seems to be quite representative sample of what goes on here, what goes on everywhere. Communication makes everything very quickly available. What do I mean by being influenced by external trends? Like, well, I mentioned before, for instance, it's become a trend for women to pull their hair back in a ponytail. And so that's what many of our devotees do, rather than keep their hair in the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us, namely that it's braided and long. They prefer to do that. That's their preference. That's a trend. It's become very trendy for women to, in terms of clothes, walk around in tight-fitting tops. And so see that any women who come to temple or walk in public places, rather than especially in places where devotees are, rather than covering themselves with some loose top piece, they prefer this other trendy thing, alternate. And of course, this is not something that just ladies do. Men, very interesting how having a shaved head has become a trend. And whereas before, some devotees who may have not been willing to shave their heads now, or kept hair, and now they shave their heads, but they also don't keep a sika. They follow that trend rather than influencing the trend. Or it seems like it's become very fashionable to have beards. So devotees start to also wear beards, why? When here we are, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we already set many trends. For instance, I think we were the first shaved head people, if I take the shaved head example, and now no one turns the face when they see someone with a shaved head. We're not the only shaved head people, so many other people shave. Where did the trend come from? Srila Prabhupada more or less introduced vegetarianism to the West, at least in ways where we have restaurants and it becomes a way of life. Now, vegetarianism, what to speak of things like karma and reincarnation, are just sort of commonly accepted beliefs. And of course, who introduced kirtan. And now kirtan has become called a sort of kirtan yoga. Srila Prabhupada introduced Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement to the West. And now non-devotees, karmis, so many other types of people, what to speak of, practicing it and teaching it, they also personally practice it without necessarily really cultivating pure devotional service. But that's another topic. So Krishna consciousness movement has such great potency to actually change the world. That's what Srila Prabhupada had wanted. So why then follow the trends of non-devotees? Why not actually follow the trends of the pure devotees and the fashion and the way of life, the way of conduct of the eternally liberated souls, namely those who are living in the spiritual world? Certainly they are in a majority, and if we're talking about, well, what do people in the majority, what do most people do, how do they look like, how do they dress? Well, that's how they dress, and that's what Srila Prabhupada gave us, that type of appearance, dhoti, kurta, chadar, tilak, and so on, and proper clothing and appearance for ladies. And these type of things are conducive for devotional service, in that they inspire one to not only look like a Vaishnava, but to also behave like a Vaishnava. So it's a quite interesting phenomenon, this copying or following the trends of non-devotees. But what about tattoo? No, I don't think it's something that Srila Prabhupada would recommend. Whether it's tattooing the holy name, or tattooing other symbols, or tattooing Krishna, or some forms of Krishna, or whatever, or one's body, not necessary. If we want to mark our body, we already have the marks of our body recommended to us. Those are tilak. That's how we mark our body. And in other sampradayas, or at least in Madhva sampradaya, they did brand the body with marks of Vishnu, but that's not something that Srila Prabhupada or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested of us. It's not even something that's necessary or compulsory, but it is compulsory to mark your body in the way that your predecessors have done. That's our dharma, that's our religion, to follow our acharyas. So if our acharyas had prescribed tattoos, then fine, then we do that. But since they haven't, then why should we? Recently, I was speaking with one devotee who asked me that very same thing. What about if I tattoo Jai Radhe on my shoulder? And it was a very nice tattoo. He gave us over a drawing of it, a sketch of it. But my answer was, I didn't think that it was necessary. I didn't recommend it. I said, if someone actually has Jai Radhe tattooed on their heart, then why do they need Jai Radhe tattooed on their shoulder? On the other hand, if they have it tattooed on their shoulder and not in their heart, then what's the use? What is the point? So when it comes to such an expression of one's own spiritual preference, we have ways of doing that, such as chanting Hare Krishna, writing books, but it's not meant to be, our body is not meant to be a billboard or an advertisement. And now Tamdas Thakur says, Apana bhajana katana kahipo yata tata. He says, as far as your own bhajan and your own spiritual conviction, keep that to yourself. Don't make a public issue of it. In the way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with people in general, he was very general in his expressions of devotion and the depths of his own spiritual realization and attainment. It was only with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really opened up. So if we want to express what our feelings of devotion are, then we should do that with some confidence, and not something that's just publicized to to anyone and everyone. Yes, nice to say Hare Krishna, but we're meant to be spreading the chanting of the holy name, not by writing it on our bodies, but by communicating it to others, by getting others to chant. Won't others chant when they see Hare Krishna on our bodies? Yes, but that's not necessarily the process by which we're meant to inspire others to chant Hare Krishna. And personally, from an artistic point of view, and of course I'm just giving my opinion, but then that's what this podcast is about, I don't find it very attractive. I find it more attractive ways to bring people to Krishna consciousness, the kind of ways that Srila Prabhupada had taught us. So, just in summary, I'll give an example, which I may have already given before, which is meant to sort of indicate, represent how devotees are, I believe, meant to be attached to the process of Krishna consciousness, the appearance and the trends of Krishna consciousness, and what the symbols of our Krishna consciousness way of life stand for, and stick by these until, as for instance, Srila Prabhupada would quote his Guru Maharaj, until high court judges are wearing tilak in the court. And that is one sort of acquaintance of mine who now lives in England. He's a Guru Kuli in Vrindavan. He got a job and in his workplace, and he had a sikha. He had hair, but he had a small sikha. And in his workplace, they said, "We're sorry, we don't allow religious symbolisms and expression. This has to be a completely secular employer." And he was taken aback. But anyway, he said, "But I'm sorry, that's who I am." So if I can't wear this, then I won't work here. So they told him, "Well, that's your choice." And he did make that choice. He left that place of work. And I was very pleased when he told me that he felt, well, this is what I am. I'm not going to hide what I am. I'm not going to cut off my sikha. That's my religion. That's my dharma. And I believe that that's the type of mentality that Srila Prabhupada expected of his followers, what to speak of his disciples. He wanted us to transform the world with Vaishnav culture, not be transformed and adopt the Western ways, especially completely superficial Western ways. Srila Prabhupada gave us so many things by which we can actually change the way people look, behave, eat, etc. And that's what the Krishna consciousness movement is about. Otherwise, when we adopt the externals of the world around us, it may well be that it's due to a lack of conviction and faith in our ability to actually change others, or in the process of Sankirtana. It also indicates that it may also indicate that we're willing to also make concessions in terms of our inner life and our inner conduct, because these type of external things also represent a culture. There's something else also behind that. There's also intoxication and illicit sex and so many other unfavorable things that these type of things, like sort of tattooing, part of a culture that represents it's sexy. It's meant to be attracting other people. And that's not what devotees want to be cultivating within. So yes, it brings up a question that when we become very much easily influenced by external trends, is that representing that we're also adopting those trends within our hearts? Can we really remain transcendental? Perhaps another topic to be discussed at some future time, but therefore I would suggest that better just refrain from these things and just do the things that Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taught us and given us, and then we certainly remain on the safe side. Hare Krishna.